Letting Go of God by Jill Sobe. Before that, we had Fresh Air's Quicksilver's Messenger Service song, Fresh Air. I really wanted to let it play, but the time was up. It's one of my favorite songs. So today, this is the Free Thought Radio Hour, and I'm Doubter 5. I'll be talking about atheism, free thought. Hold on. Humanism, the sciences, and religion, religious faith, gods, holy books, and superstition. And despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are a lot of atheist songs, and you'll be hearing them right here on this program. I'll also be talking about atheist and rationalist groups that exist here in Knox Patch, and you can connect with them. I'll tell you a little more about them later on in the show. This is an article that I wrote for the people who have to face the fact that one of their loved ones has lost their faith and no longer follow the religion that they used to share. First, a little about atheism and free thought. Atheism and free thought are some of the fastest growing religious perspectives in the world today. Once rare and isolated, non-belief is now thriving in America, Europe, the Netherlands, Japan, and China, and even some of the Islamic countries are showing distinct parts of nascent free thought. Atheist groups are starting up all over the country. For the first time since their inception, the 2013 Gallup polls have reported more than half of Americans, that's 54%, said that they would vote for a well-qualified atheist for president. Closer to home, it may be that you have recently been informed by a close friend or relative that they no longer believe in God and that they cannot, in good conscience, continue in the religion that you once shared. You're probably dumbfounded and distraught, dismayed by the news, and may have jumped to many dark conclusions about it. But then when you start talking to them about it in earnest, you find that you're talking past each other, not really making any headway one way or the other. Nothing you say seems to make any difference, and you can't understand the things that they're saying in reply. They seem to value reason above faith, and that's against everything that you've been taught since childhood. To you, faith is everything. The purpose of this article is to try to bridge that conversational gap and try to help you understand where your loved one is coming from intellectually and emotionally. I have written several articles with the believer in mind, mainly because the unbeliever already have a good grasp of the foundation of the religion and the perspective of the believer. They understand your position, mainly because they were raised in your religion, or may have actually been raised by you in that religion. They just don't believe it anymore. That's all atheism is, a lack of belief. It's not a positive statement about any belief or anything else. It's a lack of belief. That's it. It's vitally important that you understand this concept, and it's also vitally important that you have this conversation with your loved one if you truly value their relationship with you as your friend or your relative. Deciding not to talk about it can build a wall between you and them that will forever keep you at an emotional distance from each other. Once you understand that, you are able to establish real communication and understanding with your loved one. You may then find that you're closer to each other than you have been in very many years. Years that you have not talked about the unacknowledged and widening gap between you. The gap called religious belief. I wrote several articles. They're all available on my website, digitalfreethought.com. Just go there and click on the button that says blog and start reading. I've also combined them into a book called Atheism, What's It All About? By Larry Rhodes, which is me. If you want to get all of these articles together, you can buy the book. It's available at Amazon and all the others places in ebook or hardback. But what I'm going to do tonight is take one particular article from it, and we'll talk about that. That is what the Bible could have said. I'll get to that in just a minute. First, I'd like to play a free thought song for you. This is Atheist Funeral. I can't see who it's by, but we'll play it anyway. Here we go. And turns out I didn't have the entire song, but I'll make it up to you. It's Atheist Funeral. If you get a chance to look that up, it's a pretty good song all the way through. My apologies for cutting it short. Well, for getting a short version of the song. Getting back to our topic tonight, what the Bible could have said. If you have lost someone that you love to atheism, that is, they no longer believe in the religion that you used to, that you used to share with them, you must in your conversation, in all likelihood, bring up the Bible. This will probably make little difference to them because, in all honesty, it really is just an ancient text written by preachers of a long gone age, which have, when considered honestly, your loved one has been unable to believe that it has a supernatural origin. Most atheists are in that boat. We don't generally believe in anything supernatural and believe that an entire book was written by the creator of the universe. It's a little hard to believe, especially considering what's in the book. There are several other texts that are older than the Bible, the Odyssey, the Iliad, the Vedic texts, and quite a few that would hold much more moral truths, like the works of Shakespeare. To claim that it is the original, unique word of an omniscient, omnipotent deity who only has our welfare in mind and is a perfect moral guide to boot just doesn't stand up to skeptical scrutiny. If the Bible were the inspired word of an omniscient God who loved us and wanted the best for us, would it really have been filled with genocide, plagues, commandments, threats, and acceptable ways of beating your slave? Rather, wouldn't you expect that he would have taken the time to calmly explain the workings of the universe and given you reasons to do the things that would actually be beneficial to the future of humanity? Instead of sounding like it was written by a desert war chief with micromanagement complexes, the Bible could have sounded more like this. Yo, not yo, sorry, yay, getting into Bible speak. Yea, though the earth seems steady and flat, yet it is a globe which doth turn fully around once daily. Look to the north star to witness the hub of this turning extended. The sun is just another star, only much, much closer to you than the other stars. The earth is spherical, and along with other planets, circle round the sun just as the moon circles the earth. The earth, moon, and planets and stars are all thousands of millions of years old. It would have just taken God a few sentences like this to lay out the foundation of modern astronomy. Instead, many a good man like Galileo and Copernicus were persecuted as heretics by the church. Giordano Bruno was put to death for blasphemy of suggesting that the earth revolved around the sun. This was done by the very people who supposedly had God whispering truths into their ears. The Bible could have also said, explore the earth, have no fear of falling off of it, as it is round and everything on it is pulled toward the center by a force of nature that I will call gravity. Yea, it is the same force that pulls the plate upon the table and keeps the planets bound to the sun. Travel and experiment. Record your thoughts. Record your results so that you may build a body of knowledge of the world that will benefit those generations which follow. Since the earth is a sphere, traveling south will reveal stars unknown to you in your native lands. Deep in the soil may be found signs of beasts which no longer live but existed a long time ago. The patient earth has turned their bones to rock. Indeed, the deeper you dig, the further back in time the bones will be from. The very history of the earth may be learned by examining deeply within the earth. There you will witness how plants and animals have changed over many generations. Right there, he could have given us the basics of understanding evolution. Even if he didn't give us all the facts, he could have shown us where to start looking and how to begin to understand what we found. The Bible could have also said, there are many lands and people on this earth that differ greatly from you. Treat them with kindness and do not consider them beneath you simply because they are strange to you. For they are my children too. Thou shalt not keep another human being as property. It is as wrong as murder, as it steals a life from its true owner. Abolish slavery wherever you may find it. With these few short sentences, he could have saved thousands, if not millions, of lives from the brutality, hardship, and family separation and death that is slavery. But the God of the Bible actually endorses slavery, telling people who to enslave, how much to charge for selling their daughters into slavery, and even details how to mark them as slaves. The Bible could have said, The land thou livest on is thine by agreement with other people. I do not assign thee any land. If thou kill people and take their land from them, thou art guilty of murder and theft, not righteousness. Those sentences could have saved the world endless wars over the Holy Lands. The Middle East could have been a peaceful region of coexistence instead of an area of continuous war as it is today. Instead, the God of the Bible, in his role as real estate agent, actually tells his flock to slaughter whole populations in order to take their lands from them. Further, the Bible could have said, witches and sorcerers do not exist. No human has magical powers. Only your God has such powers. How many lives would this sentence have saved? How many people have been tortured, maimed, and killed on the pronouncements of their neighbors that they were witches? Instead, the Bible positively tells its people that witches exist and commands us to kill them when we find them. Christian missionaries are still perpetuating this infamy on women and children in Africa today. The Ugandan government has recently passed laws that order the death penalty for homosexuals due to the teachings found in the Bibles and by the Bible and spread by Christian missionaries. I'm going to take another little break here. It's hard to keep reading. My voice has got to last another 45 minutes after all. So I'm going to play another song about the Bible by, let's see if I can find it now. Well, can't seem to find it, and I hate dead air. So I'm going to go ahead and play Apocalyptic Love Song by Shelley Segal. It's one of my favorite, too, and I'll look for the other song. Here we go.
One day the sun is going to die. For us it means no more sunsets to the universe. Just one less star in the sky. And almost all who ever lived have already died. Countless stories of love and war and hope and pain now silent play side by side. Yes, I understand that my whole life is just a blink of an eye in the history of the earth. Somehow life may continue. It will not be known to you and I. To think we are so important is an obvious crime. We know that we are specks on a tiny dot.
And that was Shelley Segal with Apocalyptic Love Song for Hitchens. And getting back to the show, we do have a call and line open. If anybody would like to call and talk about the subject tonight, phone number is 333-5937. That's area code 865-333-5937. Okay, getting back to what the Bible could have sounded like, had there been an omnipotent, omniscient God who wanted the best for us and was willing to communicate that with us, he could have said that there are no demons. Those humans who are afflicted in their minds are sick and naturally sick and are not to be feared other than from the harm they may naturally do. How many people have been put to death because they were deemed to be possessed by demons? Even today, in modern American society, people are being hurt and in some cases killed in the process of exorcism. The Catholic Church itself, supposedly an enlightened religious entity, still routinely performs exorcism and indeed employs specialists in it. The Bible could have also said, "All human beings are my children, no matter what sex, color, or how they chose to acknowledge me, if indeed they choose to acknowledge me or not. I am a perfect being, therefore I do not care for adoration or worship. All people, men and women, must be given equality under the law." With this word from God, he could have established an equality of sexes and outlawed racism. Think of it. Who benefits more from adoration and worship? A perfect being or the priests and preachers of a particular religion who claim to represent him? Further, the Bible could have said, "When you receive a wound or cut, pour distilled alcohol into it, else it starts to fester and spoil due to extremely small plants and animals, which I will call germs infesting it. These germs are indeed so tiny that they cannot be seen by the sharpest eye, but their effects on flesh and food can be terrible and easily observed. To prevent these harmful effects, wash thyself regularly, hands and face most often. Care for thy sick. Physicians, wash your hands after seeing each patient, lest the germs from one patient be carried to the next. One day your experiments and inventions will allow you to see these small organisms." With that, God could have laid the grounds for us to understand the germ theory of disease. In just the Civil War alone, hundreds of thousands of people could have been spared excruciating pain and suffering and death if the surgeons had simply washed their hands between surgeries. The Bible could also said, "Before eating, be sure to clean your hands, eating tools, etc., thoroughly, lest these germs find their way into your body by your food and cause disease. By the slow and steady cooking, food and water may be made safe from these tiny parasites which dwell within. Milk, too, may be safe in this way. 7 times 70 beats of your heart is sufficient in duration for the boiling to be effective. Thou can eat pork, sheep, shellfish, whenever thou likest. Just cook it well first. Moreover, thou shalt cook all meat and fish well until thou mayest develop deep understanding of germs and parasites." With this, God could have given us the basis for proper nutrition. Instead, if you read the Bible, he forbade the ingestion of pork, shrimp, and lobster. How many people had to suffer hunger and malnutrition when a ready food supply may have been nearby? The Bible could also have said, "I will not curse thee with diseases, for I love thee. Diseases are caused by germs and malnutrition, and may be fought with the right diet, or by using germs and renderings from plants. Physicians experiment with these things and find effective cures. I will not set flood or storm against thee, for I love thee. These are caused by the natural heating and cooling of the earth's air, not your loving God." How many imams and preachers have ascribed diseases and other natural events to their gods in order to ensure obedience to their wishes? And they're still doing it today, aren't you, Pat Robertson? How many virgins were sacrificed at the hands of some witch doctor because people were afraid that their God would do something to their people if this demanded sacrifice were not made? The Bible could have also said, "Stop mutilating your genitals, especially those of thy helpless babies and children. This is disrespectful, harmful, and can allow germs to enter the body by those cuts." How many children have died as a direct result of this? And why would an all-powerful, omniscient creator of the universe care about who has a tiny piece of flesh on their body and who doesn't? And remember, it was him, supposedly, who put it there in the first place. Okay, taking another little break. We'll come back to what the Bible could have said here in a minute. Like to play a song. This one a little more. Oh, hold on. Here you go. It was Aretha Franklin talking about the Bible. It ain't necessarily so. And that was Aretha Franklin, It Ain't Necessarily So, recorded back in the 60s, I believe, which would be out, right? Back to our Bible, what it really could have said had there been an omniscient, all-powerful God who wanted the best for us and was willing to put it in a book for us, some of the things he could have said, knowing what we know now. It could have said, afford to each other those rights which you would have for yourself. Do not kill or harm another as you would not want to be killed or harmed yourself. As I love you and do not harm or kill you, you should not harm or kill others. All life on earth is related to you in the most profound way. Treat your planet with the greatest respect. It sustains you, and it will be a very long time, if ever, that you will find another one like it. As your populations grow in the millennia that follow, you must develop the skills needed to find and move to other Earths. Do this quickly as you are able, for the planet is fragile and is exposed to many dangers. With these lines, God could have laid the groundwork for a respect for all life. He would have given us a warning, a dictate, to begin the preparation to move off of Earth. He would have known that the population of Earth would rapidly reach critical mass. And with that much of a warning, and without the church fighting science at every opportunity, we might actually have had other planets in the millennium since the Bible was written to move to and expand off of this Earth. This is WOZO Radio, Knoxville, Tennessee, low power FM at 103.9. You can listen to this channel on wozoradio.org, or is it .com? I forget. Anyway, wozoradio.com. Okay, getting back to our topic. Oh, by the way, this is a call-in show. If you'd like to call in and talk about this subject, or atheism, or religion, call 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. Okay. The Bible also could have said, treat all people, and indeed all life, with kindness and compassion and respect, for I have made you in my image, whole and unspoiled. You will be judged for your actions, not for your ability to believe the unbelievable. No matter how much religious people claim that being good is the basis for getting into heaven, the actual criteria is laid out in the Bible itself, is belief. Believe in Jesus and accept him as your Savior, and you're in. Doing bad stuff? No problem. You're forgiven. Just believe. The Bible could have said, I do not appoint leaders, and no priests and shaman know my secrets. Do not humble yourselves to those who claim to have knowledge of me. With these lines, God could have ended the practice of charlatans taking money from the old and infirm, or indeed from anybody, in the name of God. However, if that's actually what's going on today, they are taking his money from old and infirm in the name of God, and God is doing nothing about it. The Bible could have also said, and finally, since the information herein is so extremely important, I will make this book indestructible and available to every person on the planet in their language for free. And for those who cannot read, I will have it speak to them in their native tongue. I will not allow it to be misrepresented or misinterpreted. So I will simultaneously update all copies from time to time as your understanding grows, for it is well within my power to do so. This last paragraph would have put an end to holy wars and atheism. It would have been ample proof of the existence, presence, and power of an almighty being. And the Bible could have ended with, now go forth and help prepare each new generation to be healthier, kinder, wiser, and more knowledgeable than the last. With infinite love, God. In other words, be excellent to each other. Now this would be a book that actually does reflect an omnibenevolent being. I'm sure you could think of dozens of additional things that could have been in the Bible, knowing what we know now. Many examples could spring readily to mind, knowing that what we know about the natural world around us and what a supposedly omniscient, loving God could have told us. Now compare with what we just read to the many barbaric laws, punishments, and commandments found in the Bible, especially those in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Or indeed, compare this to the teachings of any holy book in the world today. And that takes care of the article. Again, this is a call-in show. If you'd like to call in and discuss this, you can call it 333-5937. And I'm about ready to play another song for us. This will be, I'm trying to find it. One second, please. We Don't Go to God's House Anymore by Chumbawamba. Enjoy.
Are you going to a dance? Your father and I have no objections to church or school-sponsored dances, but we surely don't want you going to any of those local places like that cuckoo club.
Everything will be all right.
and that was Chumbawamba. We don't go to God's house anymore. And that comes with atheism. Two of your best benefits of atheism is you don't have to get up early on Sunday morning, and you get an automatic 10% pay raise if you've been tithing that much anyway. Anyway, if you're interested in meeting other atheists and getting with atheist groups here in Knoxville, I can tell you about a few. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. It has Buku members and meets every Tuesday night for happy hour and food at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City. Everyone is welcome. You don't have to be an atheist to come if you're just curious and would like to talk to us, as long as you don't preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Matt Delahunty. You are welcome to come and join us. And we usually get there about 5:30 or 6 on a Tuesday, and we're usually there until about 8 or a little later. Then there's the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for 20 years. The Rationalists has a biweekly presentation and discussions at the Pellissippi campus near the Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays in the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. Just come on campus, hang a right if you come in the right entrance, find the parking lot and follow the signs, or go to the website, which is rationalist.org, and click on the directions. That's rationalist.org. I didn't give you a site for the Atheist Society of Knoxville. I think it's just knoxvilleatheist.org. However, if you type in Knoxville and Atheist into Google, it'll take you there. There's also a meetup group. If you'd like to actually join the group, you will be directed to there, and you can join the meetup group. Also, there's a Sunday assembly, which is kind of like church for non-believers. They get together one Sunday a month. It's the final Sunday, the fourth Sunday of each month, if there is five. They get together and sing songs and talk and have presentations, and they have a children's program. However, they do not preach anything other than reality and science. So if you would like to get together with that group on a Sunday morning, you can try the Sunday Assembly. Just search Sunday Assembly Knoxville for more information. If you're a student and would like to become involved with Secular Student Alliance, just do a search for that. Put in your name of your city and the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement, or just find secular companionship in the Bible Belt. It can be lonely out there. Let's go to another song, and when we come back, we'll talk about Knoxville's Atheist TV show. It's been going on for 5 years. And I'll tell you how to find it. We're going to go to Symphony of Science, A Wave of Reason.
When you are studying any matter or considering any philosophy, ask yourself only, what are the facts and what is the truth that the facts bear out?
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. A way of skeptically interrogating the universe. If we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to be skeptical of those in authority, then we're up for grabs.
In all of science, we're looking for a balance between data and theory. You don't have to delude yourself with Iron Age fairy tales.
The same spiritual fulfillment that people find in religion can be found in science by coming to know, if you will, the mind of God.
The real world, as it actually is not evil. It's remarkable. And the way to understand the physical world is to use science.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach men to reason.
Think for a lifetime. Think for a lifetime.
Science questions that were once treated only in religion and myth.
The desire to be connected with the cosmos reflects a profound reality. We are connected, not in the trivial ways that astrology promises, but in the deepest ways.
I can't believe the special stories that have been made up about our relationship to the universe at large. But look at what's out there. It isn't in proportion.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. A way of skeptically interrogating the universe.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man no reason. Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
By what you wish to believe, but look only and surely at what are the facts.
Enjoy the fantasy, the fun, the story, but make sure that there's a clear, sharp line drawn on the floor. To do otherwise is to embrace man.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man no reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
And what was that? That was Symphony of Science, Reason. Waves of Reason, I believe, was the name of that. Anyway, I promised to tell you about the Free Thought or Atheist TV show that's been going on here in Knoxville for over 5 years. It's called Free Thought Forum. It's on Community Action TV or Community TV here in Knoxville. You can watch it every Tuesday between 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And then after you finish watching it, you can come down to the Atheist Society of Knoxville's meetup at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Where can you watch it? On Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. And if you don't have Charter or Comcast, you can always watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find that some of the shows have been archived on YouTube. Just search for Knoxville Free Thought Forum on YouTube. I believe that one of the fans has been putting them up out there. So, hope to have you watching Free Thought Forum. They are also still looking for hosts and co-hosts. If you'd like to become involved in spreading the word of Free Thought, you can contact us at any of our meetups or by email. I think if you call, send it doubter5@digitalfreethought.com, you can reach me by that. Or you can reach me now, of course, if you call by the phone, 333-5937, 333-5937. Now I'd like to play a fun song for you. This is one that it really sticks in your mind. You may be humming it for the rest of the week. It's called Big Butter Jesus.
In southern Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, I beheld a vision next to the expressway. Was a 60-foot Jesus with his hands in the air. Looked like he's carved out of butter, just like at the state fair.
Big Butter Jesus, Sweet Cream Jesus, Old Country Fresh Jesus, Unsalted Jesus, Old Promise Jesus, Imperial Jesus, can't believe it's not Jesus.
Jesus. Holy, oh Lord. Well, you see him from the chest up, like he's about to do a backflip. Like he scored a touchdown, or maybe melting or about to drown. Well, I've been to the state fair, seen a cow made out of corn cobs, Garth Brooks out of string cheese, and the Virgin out of olives.
Big butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promised Jesus, imperial Jesus, can't believe it's not Jesus, holy old Lord.
Shipped in pieces on a flatbed, staring backwards was his big head. Driver stuck in traffic backups, desperately avoiding eye contact. Well, don't make no graven images, that's one of the Ten Commandments. I hope the grading curve is kindly, you get to heaven with a 90.
Big butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, oh promised Jesus, imperial Jesus, can't believe it's not Jesus, holy old Lord, can't believe it's not Jesus,
oh spread the word.
Big butter Jesus. That is a real thing. It's off the interstate going north, north of Cincinnati. And it recently got struck by lightning, burned to the ground. They built a new one, slightly different. But they did actually have to add a new verse to the song to reflect that it burned. Go online, look for Haywood Banks, Big Butter Jesus, get more information on it. Now we have another song that's probably give you another earwig and stick in your mind for another week. Why Don't Bees Go to Heaven?
It seems to me the species Homo sapiens carries the chutzpah gene. To think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't bees go to heaven and trees go to heaven? Amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven. It's not surprising that they're not arising, 'cause man created God.
This grain of sand upon an infinite beach had been supporting life for trillions of spins. Then along came humans who started assuming that this was where it begins. So profoundly naive, they began to perceive these primates were the only ones to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't worms go to heaven and germs go to heaven? Spiders, snakes and sperms go to heaven. It's quite expected that they're not resurrected, 'cause man created God.
If man created Zeus
and the god of the sun,
if man created Shiva
and the god of Abraham,
from all of life, why should the only one saved be the
species worst behaved?
Well, that's because that same species, Homo sapiens, carries the chutzpah gene. to think they are the purpose of the universe when they only just arrived on the scene. What's even worse, they bear a curse of believing they're the only form of life to never die and go on living somewhere high up in the sky.
Somewhere high up in the sky.
So why don't whales go to heaven, and snails go to heaven, orangutans and quail go to heaven? They don't think twice about paradise because man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven, and trees go to heaven, amoeba, krill and fleas go to heaven? It's not surprising that they're not arising because man created God. So why don't worms go to heaven, and germs go to heaven, spiders, snakes and sperms go to heaven? It's quite expected that they're not resurrected because man created God. So why don't bees go to heaven, and trees go to heaven, amoeba, krill?
And welcome back. That was Why Don't Bees Go to Heaven by Save the Enlightenment. Well, it's getting close to that time again. We'll be leaving here in another 5 minutes. First, I'd like to talk to you about faith. Faith is excellent. Faith is incredible. With faith, you can believe anything. Here's a song. So beware of people that say that it's not them saying it, it's what God said.
Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. Mm. True story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal.
Ever since, they have been cursed.
Shake the hand of my imaginary friend. See the trouble he gets in can't be traced back to me. Oh, he can pretend at the slightest of his whim. He has the power to suspend all rules of morality. And when he gets angry, he can make the lightning strike. He can help me win the fight. Cause I can just ask for forgiveness and it's over. So you can't put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said. Don't you put the blame on me. I'm doing what God said. What God said. What God said.
So you're praying for the death of the President of the United States. Do you think it's appropriate to say something like that? Or
I'm not saying anything. What I'm doing is repeating what God is saying.
In the name of the one who made us all, I will hide behind these walls from my enemies. By the power bestowed from up above, I will conquer you because it is my destiny. And with the righteous hand, I will bring you to your knees. I will strip you of your freedom.